All right, good morning, 844 at WFIR, and we are pleased once again to be joined live by phone this morning by Delegate Jason Meares, also the Republican candidate for Attorney General in November. And he joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me for a few minutes this morning with a talk about several amendments he wants to propose during the current special session. Jason, good morning and thank you for calling.
It is great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, sir. And Jason, first of all, the Democratic-led budget committees on Monday voted to adopt the budget bill proposed by Governor Northam to spend much of the federal aid Virginia received under the American Rescue Plan Act. So, Jason, where does that leave your plan to introduce several public safety measures right now?
Well, it means essentially, I hate to be disappointed, but it's dead on arrival. What we've seen is the chairman of the Appropriations Committee sent a letter saying that they would not even consider a budget amendment from my side of the aisle, from Republicans. And so in committee, and so it meant this was a budget of over $4 billion of taxpayer money, essentially was drafted in quiet behind closed doors with the governor with no input from Republicans. And this is what happens when you have a far left liberal monopoly in Richmond. We desperately need some kind of check and balance in Richmond because this one party rule is not serving Virginians well. And, you know, the great irony is the General Assembly is the oldest democracy in the Western Hemisphere, we're over 400 years old. And this is the opposite of what a deliberative body means, because when you shut out other voices, you're really shutting out the voice of the constituents. You're saying constituents don't have any say, can't give any input, can't go in front of committee meetings and testify on why we need budget amendments. And so this is really about spending $4 billion of taxpayer money with no input from the other side of the aisle and no input from constituents. And I think it's the opposite of what good, open, and transparent government should be. And so my ideas essentially are I think they're good ideas, but they're not going to go anywhere because the Democrats aren't going to give them a hearing.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Jason. This is Gene Moreno. I know that, again, yesterday the House Republicans tried to introduce a substitute to HB 7001, right, and that was shot down within 2 minutes. And again, some of the, you wanted to, some of the highlights, fully, restore the employment trust fund, add some money to school funding, create a grant to help kids get back on their feet from learning loss. Did that bill have some merit? Did that revision have some merit?
Well, listen, I think of course it did because spending is about priorities. And so one of the things in our alternative budget we put forth was an amendment that I proposed, the $5,000 automatic bonus, retention bonus for our men and women in law enforcement. Because what you've seen throughout the Commonwealth is you've seen a mass exodus of police outside of law enforcement. We're down 120 cops in Virginia Beach, 140 cops in Norfolk. We're down over 100 cops in Richmond. Our state police are down over 300 cops. And what you've had is officers saying, listen, nobody in leadership has our back and we are leaving. The governor doesn't have our back. The current attorney general doesn't have our back. So you're having a mass exodus of law enforcement. And that means you literally don't have any active policing whatsoever. You don't have officers on the street trying to police DUIs. You don't have officers driving to your neighborhood. They're having to pull in a lot of communities. They're having to pull officers out of our schools. And it's making us fundamentally less safe. Not surprising, we've seen a crime explosion in Virginia. Our murder rate is the highest it's been in Virginia since grunge was popular.
Right.
And that should give you a perspective, is crime is up, cops are down. And so we had a very sensible proposal to actually try to retain cops, give them a bonus, show them that they're appreciated. And that got a whole 2 minutes worth of discussion, that entire alternative budget. And it was essentially, like I said, done on arrival. And that's kind of where we are with this one party, far left liberal monopoly in Richmond.
Right.
There's no room for debate. There's no room for discussion. They shut debate down. And it's why we desperately need a check and balance in Richmond, because right now this is really hurting Virginians.
We're talking with Jason Meares, a delegate and also the candidate, Republican candidate for attorney general in November. I'm just wondering, Jason, would a $5,000 bonus, is that enough to keep someone in law enforcement? And how long would they have had to stay on the force in order to get that?
Well, it would be paid out over 3 years, and it would be the first step of money to make our law enforcement feel appreciated. And a lot of it is these laws and these bills being pushed. You have people like Terry McAuliffe and others in this far left liberal monopoly in Richmond that want to get rid of qualified immunity. Qualified immunity simply means an officer can do his job, and as long as he's not violating anyone's civil rights and not violating the law, he's not going to be sued personally. He's not going to have somebody that he is arresting, that is resisting arrest, that he is put handcuffs on him, and then 6 months later gets a letter from a trial lawyer looking to sue them. It'd be a great benefit for trial lawyers. It'd be horrible for our men and women in that wear the blue. And that's a lot of it. I mean, officers are telling me that they know that right now qualified immunity is on the table. It's basically been introduced the last 2 years. And you have very far left liberal politicians like Mark Herring and Terry McAuliffe that supports ending qualified immunity. And it would be, it's de facto defund the police. It's already causing, just a hint of it's causing a mass exodus of officers off our force. And so we have been firm, Glenn Youngkin has, I have as well, that we oppose any change of qualified immunity where you're going to cause a lot of these officers to exodus.
Well, let me ask you, though, there are people that say, you know, overwhelming number of cops are good cops, but there are some that need to be held accountable. And if you don't make any allowance for that, then we're going to have some of the same issues we're seeing now. Do you believe that bad cops should be held accountable?
Absolutely. Now, let me be clear. We need to hold cops accountable in one sense, because they are the only individuals in our society that have a monopoly on the use of violence, right? Nobody else in government is given the power that the police have. And so they absolutely, but qualified immunity is exactly that. It is qualified. Okay, if you find that you violate someone's civil rights or you essentially act outside of your normal training, you can be held accountable. In fact, we had a tragic situation just in my hometown of Virginia Beach where an individual was being pulled over. He had a warrant for his arrest for multiple armed robberies. When he was pulled over, he opened fire on the SWAT team that was assigned to take him down. He opened fire on the SWAT team. The SWAT team returned fire. Tragically, a bystander was killed. And the family sued the police department and got a large six-figure judgment. So the idea that we have in the media has created, unfortunately, this impression that cops have total blanket immunity in any actions they do. They don't. They do not. Qualified immunity is qualified.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means that you can do your job. If you're chasing the bank robber in a high-speed chase, and you are chasing a bank robber and you're going over the speed limit and you get an offender bender, it means you, the cop, can't be sued personally. That's not to say the police department can't. That's the key thing about qualified immunity. It doesn't mean the police department can't be, but it means you, the cop, can't be sued individually and lose your house, lose your life savings, lose all the money you saved up for your child's college education is gone. It's gone because somebody sues you in a personal tort saying that, well, when you arrested me, you committed assault and battery. Right. Well, they had to because you were resisting arrest. You're following all the parameters. You did not use excessive force. If an officer is using excessive force, if an officer has violated your civil rights, an officer is obviously violating the law, and that's different. But if they're following their training, mm-hmm. they've done nothing wrong, they shouldn't be sued. And that's exactly what qualified immunity does. And the great irony is at the same time you have politicians like Mark Herring and Terry McAuliffe that are saying let's end qualified immunity to appease this far-left liberal base. They're keeping it for politicians. They're keeping it for judges. They're keeping it for every other government official in government except our men and women in law enforcement. Okay. That is absurd, and that's part of the frustration that you talk to law enforcement every day is they don't feel like anybody has their back. For me to go to work in the morning, I put a coat and tie on, I grab a coffee mug. For them to go to work in the morning, they have to put on a bulletproof vest. I don't know if anybody who has a job as stressful as that, that's what they have to do just to go to work. And so recognize that is a unique job. Recognize they're there to keep us safe. And what's happening is the good cops are leaving. We want to keep good cops. When they don't feel like anybody has their back, the good cops are talented enough to leave and go find other work that's not going to find them lose their home and their life savings because they're just doing their jobs. The bad cops are the ones that can't find any other work, and they're going to find a way to try to stay.
All right, Jason, we only got a couple minutes left. I wanted to just move along real quickly. I know you're very passionate about that. We're talking with Jason Miar. He's a delegate. He's in Richmond now, and he's also the Republican candidate for attorney general. I want to ask you quickly, your opponent in November in the AG election, Democratic incumbent attorney general Mark Herring, he has his own request for funding at the special session for the gun violence prevention programs that include outreach and education for at-risk children. Do you have any issue with funding for those types of approaches to the problem?
No, of course not. In fact, I previously introduced with a legislation that basically did exactly that 2 years ago, and it got shot down and got killed by a Democratic majority but it was exactly that. It was aimed at gang prevention and community services. So you have to take a holistic approach, but you also have to be able to prosecute the bad guys. I introduced a floor amendment yesterday, got all of 2 minutes of debate that say, listen, if you're trafficking in illegal guns, if you're doing these straw man purchases, you should be prosecuted. And it would give money to the attorney general's office to actually prosecute gun violence. Of course, it got killed because right now the other side of the debate isn't interested in actually prosecuting the bad guys. And the single most effective way to lower gun violence in America, which has been proven, is you go after those repeat offenders, you prosecute them, you put them behind the bars, you get them off our street.
Mm-hmm.
Between 1993 and 2016, gun violence plummeted in America while gun ownership numbers went up. Why? Because we had truth in sentencing, we had parole abolition, we went after the bad guys, we got them off our street. When you get them off our street, gun violence goes down. That's the opposite view. Mark Herring even turned down federal grant money to prosecute gun crime because he didn't like the fact that the previous administration had a requirement that said if you're an illegal immigrant and you're here picked up committing a gun in the act of violence, you have to notify ICE. And Mark Herring thought, I don't want to do that because it doesn't fit my ideological agenda. And so he turned down money to prosecute gun crime. I had money yesterday for the AG office to prosecute gun crime. It had all of a 2-minute debate. It was killed on the floor. That's the reality of a far left liberal monopoly that has no room for anybody, any other viewpoints than their own.
Okay, Jason, we have about a minute left. I wanted to ask you a totally unrelated question. Again, we're talking with Delegate Jason Miaris, the Republican candidate for Attorney General. The General Assembly has put a sunset on the games of skill that were in a lot of convenience stores and bars. They were originally going to end it last year. They gave it a year extension due to COVID. Some of the business owners, are lamenting the loss of income, and they say it's unconstitutional. Where do you stand on games of skill? How did you feel about it when it came through the Assembly the first time?
It's become apparent to me since it's passed that it's basically being used to really hurt a lot of small businesses, that it's been a lifeline for them, and it's really there to really protect casinos. And I think that's why there's been an uproar of what is happening, is you have a lot of these small business owners are the first to get there in the morning, they're the last to leave at night. You had a government mandated session that was essentially shutting down their entire business. And now they find that government, not only did they essentially force them to close, and now a lot of them can't hire people because government's given incentive for people not to go back to work. Now they're finding the game of skills that is enable them to continue to keep people employed is going to be taken away from them. So I think I anticipate that's probably going to be pending legislation the AG's office is going to have to deal with. So I'm a little reluctant to give a definitive answer other than I know this. It seems apparent to me that this has been set up to try to protect casinos. And it seems grossly unfair to some of these small business owners. So we're going to have to, in my opinion, my hope is the General Assembly will realize that they need to go out and carve out some exceptions for these individuals because otherwise they're going to lose their business in the midst of this pandemic.
Okay. Jason Miaris is the Republican candidate for Attorney General. He's also a delegate at the special session in Richmond. Jason, we're going to have to leave it there. But thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.